Here we go. You are listening to the Punkish Podcast, and we are rapidly approaching the end of the freestyle era. We're pretty much caught up. I got a couple episodes in the mix, and then we will go back to the old style episodes with music and whatnot. And Em's going to mix some of them, and I'm going to mix some of them. Em, is there a program where there probably is, although it's probably expensive? Is there like a program where we can mix live, that is, record and then play a song like it's a radio show, and then it'll be all mixed when we're done? Or like, because that'd be like super helpful. You know what I mean?
I think there is, like, there would have to be, right? Because, like, I know a lot of, like, internet radio shows, that's how they record, but I don't know what their software is.
Yeah, we should look into that, because
We
then we could
should.
like l we could literally record and be done and ready to go like instantaneously. You know,
That,
that's always the
yeah.
holdup, is I gotta mix these things, which is always a pain. I mean, and actually, I've been a little too precious, is not the right word, sensitive about it, because I just mixed a bunch of episodes and it wasn't that big of a deal. But I do have to set aside time to do it. You know what I mean? So
Yeah, it takes a bit.
yeah, it does. It does. So especially the way I do it, which is the least efficient way to do it, probably, but.
Well, how do
So,
you do it?
well, so I used to swear by Max. I love Max, but
Yes.
new Max, there's no USB drive, the memory is small, and well, there's one other. Oh, and there's no CD drive. And so I went to when I went to buy a new computer almost 3 years ago now, like the Mac guy was like, well, you can use, it's like the Fire drive, or like, instead of a USB drive, they have some other weird ass drive. And like, it
Right.
doesn't have a CD drive. And he's like, well, you can save it to the cloud. And I'm like for my day job, I literally use the USB drive almost all day long. You know, like
Right.
in law, there's a lot of like forms and stuff saved on USB drive. So I use the USB drive multiple times a day. And I use the CD drive a lot. Although I know you can buy a exterior CD drive, but it's like, it's so much more of a pain. And they're like, well, save it to the cloud. It's like, you know, I don't want to save it to the cloud. I want to save it on my computer so I can pull it up anytime, anywhere. Like, I don't want to save it to the cloud. That's annoying. That's not useful to me. That's annoying to me. And like Macs now are like 2 grand, which, if it's what I wanted, then I would buy it, you know? But it's like, you've purposely made the product less convenient for me, the consumer, you know? And they're saying, no, it's more convenient for you. I'm like, no, it's not. It really is not more convenient for me, especially, you know. So I'm like, you know, I'm not gonna make 2 grand for a computer that's crappier than the one that I have. So I bought a PC for like $500, which I like, except for the actual build of it is very cheap. Like, the actual
Yeah.
exterior is very cheap. So I do almost everything on my PC, which does have a CD player and a USB drive, and I use my USB drive all the time. But I can't really mix on it, because I always mix on GarageBand. So I record to Zoom, bounce it down, convert it to MP3, email it to myself, open up on my old Mac, mix it on my old Mac, bounce it down to MP3, email back over to my PC, and then upload it from my PC to the Audio Boom, which is the program that we use to distribute our podcast. So it's a lot of extraneous work, you know what I mean?
Oh,
Whereas
who could ever?
if I could just do everything on one computer, it'd be so much easier. And if I can mix it live, it'd be like the raddest thing ever, you know. But
There
I
should
mean,
be. I think there's a way.
but it depends what it costs. So we really should look into that. So yeah, and what's happening?
So many interviews.
Yeah, you have what?
So many interviews. So many interviews. It's been great. I mean, it's been a lot of fun, and I love talking to people and, like, doing them. So, like, part one and two of New House Studios with James and Aki, those are up, and they're really long, but they're really good and they're worth it, and you should go read them because you're gonna learn a lot, and there's cool stories about Sphinx cats and corgis and mixing and their new comp and like all sorts of really cool stuff. So you should go read those. And then I interviewed Anthony Green, who you might know from Circa Survive or LS Dunes or Saracen or Sound of Animals Fighting or like a million other bands. But he has a new solo album coming out. I guess it's out now actually, called Doom Spun. So I talked with him about that, and that was a lot of fun too. We connected over Cyndi Lauper, which was really awesome. And there's a frog on the cover, so we also talked a lot about frogs. I mean, we also talked about music and like other stuff too, which was really cool and really, really fun. Virginity, who are a band out of Florida, I don't know if we've talked about them on the podcast before. I was just trying to remember. I kind of think we did, but they're a really cool, like, emo punk band, and they're releasing, or I guess their new album is also going to be out now. But it's called Bad Jazz. So we talked about, like, improvisation and, like, all sorts of stuff, and Ron DeSantis getting eaten by an alligator. Fun, very, very fun shit. And then the one that ran today is with MC and Zach of the Dreaded Laramie for a really cool power pop, punky, rocky band out of Nashville. So we talked about, like, they do guitar harmonies called guitar minis a lot. So we talked a lot about that recording. And yeah, just like, so much other really, really fun stuff. So go read all of them immediately. Pause the episode, read them. And you're only allowed to continue the episode when you've read them all and you've liked them and you've shared them and you've tagged me in all of your posts.
Well, there you go. Tag M in all your posts.
Hell yeah.
Well, speaking of being tagged, M is when will I learn my lesson? It's like stay out of the
Oh,
comment
God.
section. You know what I mean? And honestly, like a little while ago, maybe 2 or 3 months ago, I was going through old punk news posts from really not that long ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, not that long ago. Maybe like 3 years ago. And I gotta say, the comment section actually was even worse then. Like it was real bad. I'm like, what? Because right now the comment section actually isn't that bad. I mean, we always have these miserable pricks that just post negative stuff and are clearly like incels or whatever. You know what I mean? Like they hate
Oh,
all the
yeah.
women bands and they hate this and they hate that and and it's like, it's clear that you like, well, I don't want to get too off track. It's clear that you're a weirdo and goofy, and just admit that you're a weirdo and goofy and have creepy ideas instead of like trying to hide behind shit. Anyways,
Yeah.
so I'm trying to remember what instigated this. I posted an article. Oh, that's right. I posted an article, and one of the usual creeps was taking a pot shot at me. And I actually just did like a playful. I wasn't even really that mad, and I'm still not that mad. I basically just said, what have you done or whatever, you know what I mean? And
Right.
then they gave this whole long spiel. I'm like, hey man, don't get upset. And then he gave like a whole another whole long spiel. I'm like, and this is true. It's like I basically said your opinion doesn't count. And I've been in Rolling Stone over 100 times. I've written a book that got international distribution. I've done the liner notes to DFL's Reissue on Trust Records. I've been in Bandcamp a bunch of times. I've been in Vice a bunch of times. I've been in MTV about 50 times. And you know what? You haven't ever done anything in your entire life. I win, you lose. You don't get a vote. You know what I mean? And plus, I
Right.
write this, I lose money by contributing this website for free, which you read at will for free. So, like, I don't know where you get the gall to complain about a typo. Who gives a shit? It's punk rock.
Yeah.
Anyways, so, and I mean, I shouldn't even really talk with these guys because, I mean, they're so far below. They really are. It's like, not that I'm at the level of Stephen King. But like, does Stephen King argue with detractors on Amazon? No, you know what I mean? But I guess there's a punk difference in punk. Like, Stephen King is like a rock star, whereas punk news is punk. So you can talk to Joe Strummer or you can talk to Steve Ignorant, you know what I mean? And
Right.
although I always love how they're always critical, but then the second you pop them back, they get all upset, which is amusing. So, anyways, I popped this guy, and for my opinion, that's the knockout punch. I mean, it's like, and then oh, and then he admitted that he actually is a failed writer, and that like he has a degree
Oh
in writing, but he's never
no.
actually done anything with it. Which I'm like, oh, well, that explains everything, doesn't it? It really does. And so really, I shouldn't even engage. Like, why am I engaging with these losers? I mean, it is fun engaging with people on positive or even neutral, like even in a debate sense, on whether, like, let's say they don't like, I don't know, Crazy in the Brains. And I love, like, I'll debate somebody, you know what I mean? Although, actually, I won't. But, like, the negative creeps are just there to be negative. And I really do wonder who these people are. Like, every day, literally every day, they sign into punk news multiple times a day and just leave negativity. Like, how is, like, Who is that person? You know what I mean? Like, I've never, ever,
Yeah.
ever logged into a website just to be negative, ever. Like I said, I used to read AV Club every day. It changed a lot and kind of bummed me out. I didn't log in and talk about how much I hated AV Club. I just kind of stopped reading it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's weird that these guys stick around. Anyway, the point being is you know, I popped the guy pretty good, and I know he like squirmed or whatever, and a couple of his knucklehead friends chimed in. It's like, I mean, but the fact of the matter is, man, I've written a book. I've been running for Punk News for over 15 years. Like, if you're
Yeah.
Jell-O, then I'll accept your criticism, you know? If you're Lester Bangs, I'll accept your criticism, you know? If you're Jonah Wiener, I'll accept your criticism. But until then, I'm not going to accept, you know, until you're just some asshole that's never done anything. Anyway, the point being is, I went to lunch with my dad, and we had a really, really nice time. And I was driving home, and then I remembered about this ongoing, not even a battle, like just bitch slap fight, which is beneath me to be in. And I'm like, I just had a really nice lunch with my dad. Why am I arguing with strangers on the internet? You know, like why? And every couple of years, I have the same epiphany, and I'm like, why are you arguing with it? And this one didn't even make me that mad. Like, rarely does a commenter make me mad. I haven't been made mad by a commenter in years and years. I've been annoyed, and but this one wasn't even that annoying to me.
Right.
I think maybe I just saw the angle. I could slap him really hard, and I did. You know, but
Yeah.
like, and why am I arguing straight? I just have to remember, like, when I'm on my deathbed, am I going to be glad that I argue with some miserable troll that's not going to change the opinion at all on a
No.
message board? Like, what am I doing? So, anyways, I just have to reaffirm that to, you know, every couple of years I need to reaffirm that to myself. Like, why am I? And I guess the other part of it is Punk News. The comment section has been a little bit friendlier the past 2 or 3 years, you know. So maybe that's why I felt a little bit more willing to wade into the waters, but I just got to remember, like, these creeps, and they were like Googling my day job and Google. It's like,
Oh,
and
that's
honestly,
weird.
yeah, it's weird, but actually, I'm kind of honored by it because I'm not Googling them. I have no idea what their day job is. I don't even know who they are. You know what I mean? And they're like thinking about me, which is creepy and weird, but I'm also honored in that, like, I'm a big enough force that they want to spend time learning about me. You know what I mean?
I think so. That's an
So.
interesting way to go about it.
Like, there's other writers that I don't like, you know. I haven't
Right.
Googled, I've never Googled them. I have no idea what they're up to right now. You know what I mean?
Oh, of
But
course.
ones that I like, I know what they're up to. You know what I mean? Like, so
Yeah.
I'm sort of honored that they think about me way more than I think about them, which only underscores the fact that I'm bigger than them, and also underscores the fact that it is petty of me to even engage with them. And what am I doing? You know what I mean? Like, it's beneath me, and I should knock it off. And I don't mean that I shouldn't ever talk to the commenters. There's certainly commenters at Punk News that are positive, or even not positive, are there for the genuine discussion, not just
Oh,
straight
true.
hate or anger or something, which we should engage with them. But the creepy trolls, why am I engaging with them at all, Em? I need to slap my hand again and knock it off for the next 3 years, like I usually do every 3 years or so. So I don't know, Em. I didn't lose control. I was mildly amused and slightly annoyed, so I popped him, and I shouldn't have. I just got it, you know. It's a mosquito. You know what I mean? Like, why? Why?
Yeah, just ignore it. Just
Yeah.
like, you know, when you have a really big spider and you can't smush it, so you just pour soap on it and you just have to
No.
wait for it to die. You've
No.
never done that?
I've ne
Like, you have a really big
I would
spider that you can't squish and you can't like remove, and
I
it's
would
like
ne
being aggressive, you have to pour soap on it.
I would never squish a spider ever, Em.
But like, what if it's trying to like attack you?
Spiders aren't going to attack you. They ain't even going to help you out because they catch insects.
Okay, there was one that like full on hissed at me, so I poured soap on it.
Spiders can't hiss them. I have no idea what you're talking about. Is that a tarantula? You kill a tarantula?
Wasn't a tarantula, but it was a big ass spider. It had like limbs and like hair and shit. It was huge. I have no idea what type of spider it was. First time like I've ever, you know, seen one of those. It was wild.
Is you always like a dog or something?
It wasn't a dog.
Here's what prompted my thing is, like, somebody submitted an article about military gun. They played the same song 4 times in a row,
Oh.
And
To
actually,
start out.
I did have a typo in there. I just left it in there. And then
That's
this
funny.
person like did this multi-paragraph analysis of my article, which it's a dopey punk website. You know what I mean? And so in a way, I was on, like, you spent more time thinking about me than I did writing the article. And then I put, I put great initiative. You're hired. Pay, like, we do this for free. So what are you complaining about? Anyways, so
Wait, I have to. I didn't see the battle in the comments on that.
I
I gotta
wasn't
look.
even. I wasn't even, I was amused. I wasn't even really annoyed. I was amused. And that's what prompted that. Anyways, I just got like, don't talk to idiots. What, you know,
No.
what's that phrase? Like, never, what is it? Never fight with an idiot because they can only bring you down to their level. What's that phrase?
I know what you're getting at, but I can't quite
Oh, here we
come up
go.
with it right now.
Mark Twain, never argue with an idiot. They will drag you down to their level and beat you with experience. Mark Twain, good quote. Anyways, not a big deal. I just gotta remember, don't deal with idiots. What the hell's the point? Anyways, let's see. It's the presidential debate, which I will be watching after the podcast is over, and it's gonna be probably a shit show. And let's see what's happening in this week in punk rock. And here is what is happening in this week in punk, not in punk rock. Oh, so Off has got a distributor for their free LSD movie. It's going to be distributed by Buffalo 8, and there is now a Philly showing, which I will be going to, and I'm psyched about this. I mean, I don't know if there's a whole lot to say about this, Em, except for I'm psyched that the free LSD movie
Yes.
is getting true distribution. I wonder if that means if it's going to be in real theaters, widespread, like Boots Riley, Sorry to Bother You. That'd be pretty cool.
Ooh, I hope
And
so.
but the question is, Em, is it bittersweet now that Off is breaking up? Like, is it too little too late? That's the question. Or is it the fitting end cap to the Off experiment, which one could argue reached the edge of its universe? Because, the question lingering is, what could there be that Off could do after Off 3 and or Off 4? And that is there anything else for them to achieve that they haven't already achieved, you see?
I think it's a fitting way to bring her to a close. I think this is kind of bringing everything, like putting a bow on everything, because there was wa the Watermelon movie, which like never really became, didn't get funded and stuff. So now it's like we've done a bunch of really cool albums, we've done a bunch of really cool tours. We've finally put together a movie that we're very happy with, and it's getting proper distribution. So I think it's a fitting end. It is bittersweet because I think it's going to be a good movie, but I also think looking back, it fits their career very well. I do want to see this. I think it looks very good, or it sounds very good.
Honestly, I think it sounds like freaking awesome. Like it's like way, it's like way trippy. So the movie stars Keith Morris. I think he works in a porno store, and Keith is like 60 something. And this young girl, not young girl, young woman comes in, and she's got the hots for him. She's like super hot, and is like 25, and she's got the hots for Keith, who's like 65. And Keith kind of realizes that he's living a miserable existence. And then he's warped into a universe where he's Keith Morris, the punk rock star, which I think is super interesting because usually in these kinds of movies, it's like someone living like a milquetoast life. And it's like, what could your life have been? But in reality, Keith's life is the exciting life. You know what I mean? Which I think is super interesting and
Yeah.
super, super cool. And plus, it's got the whole thing about like time traveling aliens and a whole bunch of weird, whacked out stuff. So I'm super excited for this. Like I said, I'm sad Off is ending. But Off really achieved a lot. I'm not sure what there was left for Off to achieve. And yeah, it's a fitting end. I'm sad. I wish Keith could keep Circle Jerks, Off, and Flagging at the same time. But on the other hand, I can't blame him. When Circle Jerks is bringing the amount of money they're probably bringing in, and playing to 5,000 people, I can't blame him for not wanting to play to 200 or not even wanting to. I can't blame him for not devoting time to playing for 200 people when 5,000 people do want to see him, you know.
Right.
What and actually, I was thinking about this is Keith really is a really, really smart guy. And you can trace the resurgence and massive popularity of the Circle Jerks down to one specific decision by Keith. Do you know what that decision is?
What is the decision?
So when Circle Jerks broke up, like they weren't a really in demand band, frankly. Like I saw the last Circle Jerks tour, and people came and were excited, I guess, but it wasn't something special. It wasn't something people were like, oh, like now when Circle Jerks play, like, oh my God, I can see the Circle Jerks. You know, it's like, oh, the Circle Jerks are coming around again. They've been a band for 25 years, or no, 35 years, 20, 25 years, and it's the Circle Jerks, and we'll go see them. Kind of like when people go see, you know, Agent Orange or whatever. You know, they were
Sure.
more popular than that, but it wasn't like an event, or you know, it's like, ah, oh, here comes the Circle Jerks again. Hopefully, they'll play some of the early. Well, they always play the early stuff. The Circle Jerks broke up because basically most Circle Jerks were tired of being in the Circle Jerks, so Keith decided to form Off. And actually, one or two of the original Off songs were supposed to be Circle Jerk songs, and Greg Henson even has one or two writing credits. And so they recorded a 16-song demo, and they gave it to Mr. Brett at Epitaph. And Mr. Brett
Sure.
said, "This is really great. I'm going to put it out." And Keith's like, "Well, we need to record the actual album." And Mr. Brett was like, "No, you don't need to record an album. The demo is the album. It's that good." But then I think Mr. Brett said, or maybe Keith said, "Why don't you go talk to Vice or somebody just to get their opinion?" And Vice, they did go talk to they did go talk to Vice, and Vice at the time was the epitome of cool. I mean, now Vice actually pretty much destroyed and
Yeah.
kind of thought of as skeezy or whatever. But at the time, Vice without question was the epitome of cool. And so Keith decided, instead of going with the safe bet and putting out a record on Epitaph, which frankly would have been okay, but it wouldn't have signals. It wouldn't have been like a signal to the audience about Off. It would just be like, oh, the guy from the Circle Jerks has got a new record. Here you go. You know, by
Yes.
signing with Ife with Vice, it was kind of a stamp of cool. And the quote tastemakers at Vice were like, no, actually, you all need to pay attention to Keith Morris because he's a first wave hardcore punker and he's a cool guy and he's an amazing artist. And he is. And so by signing with Vice, it really, really did rejuvenate Keith and made Off something cool and awesome, you know. And so, you know, Off maintained that cool for pretty much their entire career, which is now a staggering 14 years about, I think, which is really longer than the original run of the, well, not the, than the early run of the Circle Jerks. And so the fact of the matter is by kind of buying that cool or being appointed as being cool, Keith has now transferred the coolness of Off into the coolness of the Circle Jerks, or at least the respect. That is where Circle Jerks was seen as an oldies act in the early 2000s. Now they're seen as a timeless, important part of punk history, you see. And so that one decision by Keith to take the risky choice and go with Vice instead of Epitaph, he kind of preserved and cemented and protected his next 25 years, which was a pretty smart move on his part. And it goes, Keith's a smart guy.
Very smart guy. He's just
So
so
yeah, man,
cool.
Keith is the man. Keith's the man. Keith's awesome. And the whole band is cool. Dimitri's cool. And so I wonder what I wonder how Dimitri feels, and I wonder what he's going to be up to next, because he was an equally as part of Off as Keith. So I wonder how he feels about the whole thing, you know.
That would be interesting to know. We should have him on.
Probably not going to happen.
Fair enough.
Not that there's I can just say this is I actually reached out to them. Basically, Off isn't doing interviews, which is probably the smart move. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
to maintain mysterious, you know. Now they're
Well,
probably
of
going to do like
course.
one or they'll probably do like one or two interviews with like with Rolling Stone or whatever, or maybe with Variety or something, because they've got a movie coming out. But they're not doing like the standard interview circuit about the end of the band. So we won't know for a little while. But you know, Dimitri will come around again, and in a couple of years we'll ask him, man. So yeah. Speaking of oldies acts, which Off is not, which Circle Jerks is not, which Flag is not, but speaking of X have announced their final album, Big Black X. Ugh. Ugh.
That's not the name of
Yeah,
that.
terrible name for Big
That's
Black X. The album is called
the
Smoke and Fiction. That's a terrible. These are bad names, man.
single.
So I did like the marketing thing. This is basically X said, we're putting out a new record, and we're not going to tell you what it is, but we're selling 500 test presses and they're signed, and you can buy them right now if you want. And they sold out in like a couple of hours. So I thought that was a cool marketing thing. Em, are you excited about the new X record? And it's the final X record. Are you excited about this? Or what'd you think of this of the song Big Black X?
Well, yeah, like I had the same thing where it was I saw the name of the song and I'm like, huh? You know, like what does this mean? And then I was like, are they gonna be singing about pirate treasure? Because I just watched a show on pirates and was like, ha, that'd be a cool coincidence. But it's like they're just talking about their name X on the marquee. So it's just a big black X on the white background kind of thing. And I was like, oh, okay, I get it. That's interesting. The whole song's just kind of chronicling them, like their story journey as a band, and the video is like archival footage and some new footage and some drawn like stop motion-y things. So it does very much feel like a song on a final album, like a wrap up, like a, oh yeah, here's kind of a retrospective and here's kind of what we're doing now, and there you go. I never really got into X. Like again, I've heard a couple songs here and there, but they've never grabbed me enough to fully check out an album by them, or like a full album by them. I know they've obviously had a massive impact and influence, and I think that's great. I also think it's really cool that they have all of their original members still living and still playing together and like getting along enough to play together. You know, that's a pretty good feat, especially if you've been around since like oof the 70s. Like that's amazing.
Well, especially since the
So
two lead singers are divorced too.
that too. Yep, that too. All of the drama. So it's good to see they're still going. I do think I like when bands announce final albums because it's like they're hanging it up on their own terms and they're going out the way they want to instead of kind of being like, okay, we release this, now we're not a band anymore or whatever. Like I like when it's very intentional. So I respect their decision. I'm not sure if I'll check it out. Because like I wanted to check out Alphabet Land and I kind of did, but I don't know, something lost me midway through. I'm not trying to rag on X by any stretch of the imagination, but like those are my thoughts.
All rag on
John.
X. Listen, X's first record is like a lot of people say that X is the best Danger House band, and a lot of people worship X as the iconic LA punk band. For me, X is like the most boring Danger House band. Like everyone loves that first record. Well, the funny thing is, like the first record is a punk record, and most of the ones after are like country records, and they decide, oh, we're sort of punk again, but not really. But I always thought that Los Angeles, the album, is just kind of boring. Like it doesn't have the danger, the snap. It's got kind of a smooth sound. I mean, I don't hate the first X album, but I just think it's okay. And I genuinely don't. I mean, it was produced by Ray of the Doors, and it sounds like it. And I mean, I like the Doors a lot, but I don't mean that as a compliment. It's like it sounds very six, you know, 60s, you know, smoked out. Like, yeah, you're off the hook, but your phone's off the hook, but you're not, you know. And I'm like, oh wow, that's great. Meanwhile, like, Black Randy's just doing Sonic Destruction. Meanwhile, the Eyes are doing like just Stooges style super fast punk. Meanwhile, the Avengers are doing like super sharp, informed political punk. And then X just kind of like the most gentlest of them all. And I was never really a huge X guy, and I think their country records are kind of boring. I thought Alphabet, people kind of raved over Alphabet Land, and I'm like, this? And so the new song, it sounds like X. You know, I'm not that wow. I mean, it's all right. It's not bad, but I'm really not wowed by it. But it's funny. Some people never do let things die, but I'm sort of glad they didn't here. In that, I forgot that Xene is in there, like some super weird conspiracy theory stuff, like not cool, you know, not
Oh,
cool
wait,
conspiracy
what?
theory. Yeah, like for what, like there was a school shooting and she was saying it was like fake. And
Ooh.
let's see here. And she had some other stuff too. And well, I don't want to accuse her of things that I'm not sure about, but And listen, I definitely have to agree politically with bands I listen to, and actually most bands I listen to, I disagree probably on some stuff. But the school shooting conspiracy theory one, with like we're saying the kids were fake. That's kind of a tough one to get around, you know.
Yeah, it's really terrible.
And honestly, if it was like if they were Morrissey good, I would probably look the other way, Em. But they're not Morrissey good. They're bland, you know. You know, if it was Morrissey, I'd be like, well, he didn't directly say he believed it. He just said what he didn't believe, you know, whereas that, you know, so and remind me to ask me about X after the show. So anyway, you know, X is okay. You know, they're fine. I think they're overrated. If you like them, that's fine. I don't think you're, you know, I just don't know why this band was chosen to be the band of the LA punk scene when there was the Germs. Danger House, Germs. How could I forget about them? Germs are absolutely amazing. And even though the Germs are heralded by all the people from LA, outside of LA, it seems like people think X is the best. And I'm like, the Germs compared to X, the Germs destroy X. And actually, I'm not to get too far off track. Darby Crash, total weirdo, total genius. In these days, we do like to, you know, we do like to, I guess, kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Follow closely the artist, say, oh, well, they said this thing I don't like, or they said that thing I don't like. And I try not to get too hung up on that, really. I do a little bit, but not as much as a lot of punkers. If the person says one thing they disagree with, they totally X them out forever. Where me, I try to be a little bit more, less strict with regards to that, because I don't need everybody to agree with me. But, like people like Darby Crash, M, like, I can only imagine the things that they would be saying in 2024. You know what I mean? Like there, I mean, there were some real maniacs, or Black Randy. There were some real maniacs back in the day, and you do wonder what would they be saying these days, you know?
Yeah, you'd like to think they'd be cool, but.
But well, I mean, if Darby Crash or whatever said some whacked out stuff, I wouldn't care because. I mean, I'm able to make my own opinions, obviously, but like, I like that Darby Crash is an alien. I like that Lee Scratch Perry was an alien. I like that the Death in June guy is an alien. So I don't need them to agree with me on things. But there is a certain, like, if somebody starts like saying like racist things about black people, you kind of got to draw the line there, you know, or the school shooting thing, you kind of got to draw the line there. You know what I mean? But if you say like whack that, like, you know, John Lydon says he likes Trump, which is totally lame. But I don't hate John Lydon. I still like John Lydon. I wish he didn't say that, you know. But I don't hate John Lydon. And so, yeah, so, you know, I don't know. I don't need all my favorite artists to agree with me. I wish they would. But I don't wish they would, because I like challenging viewpoints. But there does get to be a line where it goes from critical thinking to insanity and poor taste. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
So the point being is, if Darby Crash was like, I like Trump, like, that would annoy me, but I wouldn't hate Darby Crash. But if he, well, so you get what I'm saying. So yeah, Em, tell us about the new Brat video.
Yes. Okay. So Brat are great. I love Brat. They are out of New Orleans, and they just released a video for Trenchin. So that is one of the songs off of their recently released debut full-length Social Grace that came out earlier this year on Prosthetic. I also interviewed Liz and Brenner, so like, go check them out. That's up on Punk News now. But yeah, so the video is really cool. It shows them playing live, and was recorded at the Fred Hampton Free Store in New Orleans. It is a great song. It's one of the more, like, it's one of the most hardest hitting songs on the album. And I mean, like, it's, the album is full of a lot of, like, very great, heavy, hard hitting songs. But this is, like, up there. And I love watching them live, because every live video I've seen is just so much energy from them and from the crowd, and everyone seems so into it and just having like an absolute blast. And like, you know, everyone's dancing and moshing and headbanging and like really like giving it. So huge, huge fan of the video. It makes me want to go to one of their shows like that much more. I want to see them live so bad. So hopefully like they'll come up to Canada at some point and do like a headliner. And again, the whole band is just incredible watching them play. Liz's voice is amazing. Like, you know, when you listen to people and you're like, wow, I wish I could sound like that. How can I sound like that? She is that for me for sure. 'Cause it's like, I want to be able to scream like that and just, it's awesome. So sometimes videos, because they have other videos where they have like storylines and they're using like a lot of humor and a lot of other things, like for the title track and for the other single that they released where they were in the restaurant. I will look the name of that song up. So like they've done a lot of really, really awesome things that way. And it's nice to see just kind of like a live video as well. Hesitation Wound, that's the one where they're in the restaurant. So yeah, I don't know. I love this band. I really like how we've had such a resurgence of heavy music over the past like, well, the past year really, like all of the releases that have been coming out. And I love Brat especially too, because they're like, yep, we're gonna like have this aesthetic that you're not really gonna expect. And then it's just gonna be like, bam, brutality. So yeah, John, what did you make of it?
I thought it sucked. No, I'm kidding.
Get off
I like Brat a lot.
the
I think they're one of the better modern metalcore, metal, punk,
Yeah.
hardcore bands. I actually think they're one of the best of the genre. As I said before, I don't know if they're really breaking a whole lot. Actually, they kind of are. I mean, no, they're not breaking a whole lot of modes, but they do have sort of a unique take on things. Live, they're absolutely fantastic. They're certainly one of the better bands at this style. I think they're really, really cool. I was going to say something. I think they're really, really cool. Oh, what's interesting is they describe themselves as a metal band, but I wouldn't call them metal. I would call them hardcore, or even metalcore, but not metal. I realize we're splitting fine hairs here, but I thought it was just interesting that they call themselves metal. Would you call them a metal band then?
I call them more of a hardcore band for sure, but I could see the metal characterization.
Yeah, so
Like
anyways.
they definitely have elements of it, but I don't know if like, well, again, when you get into like what's what, like genre-wise, it gets really like dicey. I think they're very similar.
I'm reminded a lot of the early 2000 bands that were so hardcore they became metal. Bands like Chokehold or bands like Infamous Gehenna. Well, actually, they're from the 80s and 90s. But those kind of like, they're so hardcore they sound like a metal band. That's how I would describe them. But that being said, I think this band is very cool. And they're good. And so yeah, that's that. Everyone should go see them live. We talked
Yeah.
about this briefly. Sloppy Seconds. Do we talk about Sloppy Seconds re-releasing the first album, man, or do we just talk about the compilation?
We talked about the comp.
Okay, well, they're also re-releasing their first album. It goes in and out of print all the time. Right now, it's $100. Well, actually, it was $100.
Oof.
Now it's only down to like 30. It's out via Puke and Vomit slash Radiation. Without question, Sloppy Seconds' first album, Destroyed, is one of the best Ramonescore albums. Although, actually, I wouldn't say they're Ramonescore. I would just say they're kind of funny punk influenced by the Ramones, some other stuff. But they're definitely they're probably the best late 80s punk band. I mean, I absolutely love Sloppy Seconds. They're funny. They're great. Their songs are absolutely great, and they're super good, and I love them. And have you checked them out yet, or you haven't checked them out yet?
I haven't checked them out yet because you said you were gonna pick one of their albums as a album battle, so I want to go into that without any previous knowledge.
Yeah, don't. We'll do an album battle probably pretty soon, and we'll do it then. So anyway, Sloppy Seconds is totally rad, and the record has just been re-released, and it needed to be. Let's see. I thought there's like one or two other things that I want to cover here. And talk about South by Southwest. That follows another
Oh.
story that we mentioned not that long ago.
Yeah, okay, so boycotts work. That's kind of the moral of the story. Public pressure works. Now, South by Southwest has announced that they're cutting ties with the US Army and weapons manufacturers who have been sponsoring the festival for quite a while, I guess. And last year it came to a head where more than 80 artists dropped off of the music festival in protest of these sponsorship ties, mostly because these, well, they're supplying weapons that are being used against the Palestinian people, and they're being used to commit genocide. So bands were like, nope, we're not going to stand for this. We don't want to be associated with these horrible atrocities. So we are going to get on out of the festival. And they did. The festival went on without them. The festival initially defended their sponsorship ties with the army and with the weapons manufacturers. They did say that they respected the artist's decisions to drop out of the festival, but then we're like, well, these people are here because of this. More than just being sponsors, they also hosted panel discussions during the weekend, which again is like, why are you having that at a festival? But again, whatever. So they announced this earlier this week that they're dropping the US Army and all of the weapons manufacturers as sponsors moving forward. The statement on their website reads, this is very short. It just says, after careful consideration, we are revisiting our sponsorship model. As a result, the US Army and companies who engage in weapons manufacturing will not be sponsors of South by Southwest 2025. They used a comma where they shouldn't have, and that's bothering me. So
Why don't you sign in and tell them
exactly. Like I just copied and pasted it and it's like, oh, you have a grammatical error. I'm coming for you, South by Southwest. But
let's see. As a result, the U.S. Army comes to engage. You're right. There shouldn't be a comma there. You're right.
there shouldn't be.
You're right.
I'm
You're
gonna
right.
log
You're
in and
right.
fix that. That's bothering the shit out of me. Anyways, so it's a pretty weak statement. It for you know what it is. It's a victory because they are dropping these organizations as in institutions and companies as sponsors, which is really good to see. And they're doing it because people are putting more pressure on them. Like they also started paying artists more after like people were like signing petitions and protesting that as well. Which is really good to see. Again, we have people together have power to change things, and it's hard to, or sometimes it's really easy to lose sight of that. Because it's, oh, I'm just one person, what can I do? And the answer is a lot, even if it's just not buying like your Starbucks drink and going somewhere else, like supporting a local coffee shop or, you know, somewhere. It has an impact. So it's really, really good to see because last the one of the was I think it was the last podcast we did. We talked about Live Nation announcing it'll be suspending Barclays sponsorship from all of its festivals across the UK, and that of course followed boycotts of the Great Escape and Download Festival due to Barclays providing financial services to defense companies supplying Israel. So again, it's really good to see that these things are working. Do I think that? Well, and I do think that the they are connected because not only because of like the boycotts and people standing on their belief systems and really, you know, like we're not gonna stand for this, so like fuck you. We're not gonna, you know, support your festival. We don't need you. Along with that, South by Southwest, I believe, also wants to expand into the UK. And to do that, based off of the pressure of accounts like, you know, Boycott Barclays and things like that, they're like, okay, well, we have to reevaluate our sponsorship model if we want to go forward. So again, if you can't appeal to someone's humanity, appeal to their financial stability, which is pretty messed up, but at least it has an impact. Yeah. John, what do you make of it? That was a I kind of rambled there. I'm sorry. But anyway.
Well, I never ramble, Em. I'm always directly to the point and concise.
Exactly.
I'm a big fan of voting with your dollar. I wish most people voted with a dollar. In fact, like I hate Amazon. I hate Ticketmaster. Oh, I will talk about that briefly. I hate AI, and people are like, oh, you know, bands aren't getting paid. Let me sign into my Spotify. You know, I wish people voted with a dollar. Most people do not. That is the most effective tool to hit people or hit companies that you don't like. And so, like I said before, I'm amazed that these relatively tiny bands, and yes, I know Scow's a big band. I love Scow, but they're not a big band compared to Green Day. They're not a big band compared to Taylor Swift. I love that these tiny bands or small bands are putting their money where their mouth is and are affecting the change they think should be made. I'm very impressed by that, and I think that's exactly what punk is all about. So I think that's very neat and very cool that they are that David is fighting the Goliath, and I don't know if David's winning, but at least getting in a few good shots, you know. Along those lines, then, so Gwen Stefani's playing Atlantic City, and I missed Gwen Stefani a couple of years ago because American Airlines decided to strand me in Chicago because they felt like it, and they were like, "Oh, we're not flying to Las Vegas. We'll refund you half your money." And I'm like, but you didn't get me to Vegas. And they're like, "But you got halfway there." I'm like, that's no good. Anyway, so I didn't get to see Gwen. And so Gwen's playing Atlantic City, which actually surprised me because No Doubt just played Coachella. That did happen, right? I think Coachella happened, right?
Yeah, Coachella happened.
Yeah. And so it was like their first show in like 15 years or whatever. And so I thought, oh wow, I guess No Doubt is back. But maybe Gwen being the mastermind is like, well, now that there's interest in No Doubt, I can just keep that for myself and do more solo shows, which is smart, Gwen. And you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Like a lot, like we do a lot of baseless or semi-baseless speculation on punk news, and people
Yes.
really have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. And often the person that you think is being the holdout is often not being the holdout, or there's other factors involved. Like I said, not to always reference the Leftover Crack book, but when I wrote that, people were always like, oh, well, they did XYZ because of A, B, and C. And it's like, no, that's not at all. The reason so and so isn't in the book is because so and so was in rehab. Or the reason so and so was in the book is because so and so was the only sober person there, that they're the only person that knows the actual story. You know what I mean? Like people guess and they're wrong most of the time. Anyway, I'm going off track. The point being is Gwen was playing Atlantic City. I'm like, wow, I'm finally gonna get to see Gwen because now she does Gwen solo and No Doubt in her show, and I was totally psyched. And I signed in to buy tickets right at 10 a.m. on Wednesday to buy my Gwen Stefani tickets. And guess how much the cheapo tickets were?
$250.
$250 for the cheapo tickets. And I was like, you know what?
Ooh.
After fees, that's going to be 350. Two tickets is 700. Gas, if I get a hotel, I'm looking at a grand to 1200 bucks. I just can't justify spending 1200 bucks to see Gwen. You know what I mean? Like that was
Yeah.
like ticket prices are back to being totally insane again. And that's just after I spent 100. I was thrilled to spend 150 to see the Rolling Stones. And I'm like, I don't know if I could spend more to see Gwen and the Rolling Stones, you know? Now that might have been the result of surge pricing because that was the pre-order. I'm going to sign back in tomorrow morning and maybe prices will be more reasonable. But that's isn't that insane? And 250 bucks cheapo tickets to see Gwen. I thought it was going to be like $69.95 or something, or even $49.95 for the cheapo tickets.
It's really up there. Oh my God. I didn't think it was going to be that expensive. I thought it was going overshooting it.
It's crazy. Like, I guess it's a symptom of two things. A, the divide between well, the divide between the rich and the poor is wider, I guess, than it's ever been. So people can just spend 250 bucks like it's $10, you know. But also people have been trained to spend that much on a show, and so maybe they're not demanding better prices and aren't using their dollar wisely. So I think the fault is the blame all around, except for me, who did vote with his dollar and didn't get a ticket. I'm sad, but listen, man, I can't justify $1,200 on Gwen. I mean, Gwen's awesome, but $1,200 then, that's a, you know, that's a significant scratch for one show.
It's a bit much.
So
It's
sorry,
way too
Gwen.
much.
I wanted to see you, Gwen, but 250 bucks for the El Ch and the El Chivo tickets actually suck. As I said before, you shouldn't get El Chivo tickets, nor should you get the most expensive. Usually the medium or the crappier mediums is the way to go. But listen, man, I'm not gonna spend 1200 bucks for like crappy seats. You know, it's like, man, it was a real bummer, man. So it's getting out of
Yeah.
hand again. It's crazy. It's getting out of hand.
So stupid.
So
Like,
anyways,
again,
go
there's
ahead.
like these stories that are popping up, and it's like, oh, well, why are arena tours and like stadium tours not selling out? People have to cancel us. Oh no. And it's like, yeah, because no one could afford to go.
Well,
It's that simple.
I'm glad those mega expensive tours are failing. I'm glad. I know Springsteen had to cancel a tour. Oh, that band, the Black Keys, sold like tw 10
Oh
tickets.
God, yeah. Yeah, and then they're like, we fired our manager because they fucked up.
I wonder who was to blame for that, you know? Anyways, but I don't care. Do I care about the Black Keys at all? I don't care about the Black Keys at all, Em. I really don't care about the Black Keys at all.
All?
At all. I don't care about them at all. Do you?
No. I like a couple of their songs, but I haven't checked out any of their like new stuff. I think the last newish stuff would have been El Camino, which was quite a while ago.
And listen, Gwen's awesome, but why spend $250 to see Gwen when you can pay $14 to see Joe Jack Talcum, the band, and Mikey Erk, the band, and the Ramones do an all Ramones set one night only, July 27th, for $14, Em. $14! It's less than
That's a
$5
good
a band.
deal.
That's insane. That's you're spending less than $5 to see Joe Jack Talcum, the band, do a one night only set. So listen.
It's good value.
Anything else we should talk about, Em, or should we wrap it on up?
Oh, the new uniform single is very good. I was listening to it before the podcast, and I'm really liking it. It's super. I'm very excited to hear more of it.
And what do you think is going to happen with Scout? It's actually been a while since Psychic Dance Routine came out. Like, what do you think the next thing with Scout is going to be?
Like an EP or an album?
EP album, but and what the Psychic Dance Routine was noticed will be different than How Flowers Grow. So
Mm-hmm.
what do you think is going to happen? What's going to be the next Scow thing?
I think they're going to release an album, and I think they're going to have a handful of tracks as a Psychic Dance Routine, and I think they're going to have a handful that are like pure kind of hardcore.
I
And I think they're going
disagree.
to balance it.
I disagree.
What route do you think they're going to go? Do you think they're going to go full like 90s alt rock?
No, I think it's going to be a varied album, and I think they're going to achieve what Ceremony tried to achieve but sadly failed. I think they're going to have some straight up pop or pop type songs, some grungy songs like Tank, and maybe a couple of hardcore songs. But I think it is going to be a full on, not full on, but significantly pop influenced record, and I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I think it's going to be cool.
That would be neat. I'd be up for that.
I mean, honestly, that remix of Psychic Dance Routine blew me away. It really did. So, anyways, we'll see, man. I mean, we shouldn't talk about Scout every episode, but like when I, you know what, at Punk Rock Bowling, people were freaking. I mean, I've seen them a few times now. People were freaking out over them at Punk Rock Bowling, absolutely freaking out, and that's because they're great. So, anyways, we'll see. So, yeah, anyways, let's wrap this episode on up. Or do you think you're going to self-destruct, which a number of bands
No.
do when they get on that cusp? Why? Why do you think they won't self-destruct?
I don't think they're going to self-destruct. They're not giving me the vibes of like, we really, 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 really hate each other, or
Actually, I agree with you. I mean, I don't. I'm actually being coy. I don't think they're going to self-destruct. But it does. I mean, there was that band Gloss who were in this exact same position and totally self-destructed. You know, so it can happen. And after the show, there's a band where no one knows this except for well,
Oh.
not except for me, where the rest of the band hates one person, and that well, that's all I'll say. And I'll and.
Ooh.
But like no one knows this. Well, some people know it. Most people don't know this, and I wasn't shocked to hear this, but it made a lot of sense when I heard this. Anyways, we'll leave the listeners with that, the puzzle in their mind. Who's the band where the rest of the band hates one person in the band? And we will wrap this up, and maybe next week we'll be back to our standard classic punk news style. And I don't know, anything else you want to say? You can always use that podcast at punknews.org, and that's what's happening. That's what's going on, man. And ladies.
Yeah.
And everyone in between, that's what's kicking. You know, go see Scow, they're cool. Go see the Dead Milkmen, they're
Yeah.
awesome. Go see my show, Ramones Mania, Joe Jack Talcum, the band, Mikey Erk, the band, the Ramones, it's gonna be rad. And the band that dropped out, no thanks to you, but we don't need you jerks. So yeah, man. Yeah. I don't know. Anything else you want to say? I'm rambling. They call me the Midnight Ram. I'm still on a high from seeing the Rolling Stones and getting the $600 tickets for $150 because someone mangled their leg and I reaped the benefit, Em. It was great. It was great, Em. It was awesome. It was awesome.
You both got the benefit,
Well, we
kind
did.
of.
We did.
Ooh, I do I have words of wisdom? Oh, I don't know. My brain's soup.
All right, that's tonight's words of wisdom. M's brains are soup.
Yes.
I gotta figure out how to stop recording because they changed everything. Here we go. All right, we're going to listeners, we will see you next week, and I'm going to stop recording in 4, 3, 2, 1.